Hi, I'm Antonio Starr from South Korea, and I want to be the first person to die on the moon.
That's Antonio from the class of 2020. This week, we're diving deep into Antonio's story on Humans of Minerva. Welcome to Humans of Minerva, a podcast which captures the interesting stories of humans at Minerva. I'm your host, Jules, and today I'll be sitting down with Antonio from the class of 2020. Hi, Antonio.
Hi, Jules.
Thanks for joining us today. So we're right now sitting in the Seoul rest. It's the beginning of the semester, and I'm kind of wondering, you're an alum. You also were in Seoul a few years ago, right?
Yep.
When's the last time you've been to the res?
I've actually been to the res every single Minerva cohort that's been in Seoul. Every single cohort that passes by, I happen to kind of connect with them and see the Minervans, listen to their stories, help out with this and that. So, yeah.
That's great, but when was your Seoul semester?
My Seoul semester?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I think that was 2017 or something. And back then we didn't have the res here. We were out of a hotel in Gangnam.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And also this was when we had two cohorts in the same city at once. So M90s and M20s were in Seoul and Hyderabad together. So it actually made for very unique bonds for our two cohorts. And we have a lot of memories in Seoul, particularly at that res hall that I would not talk about publicly, but gosh, yeah.
You wanna share?
We got banned from the rooftop. We had some incidents at the first floor toilet, but let's say it involved Minervans and it also involved a copious amount of soju.
Oh.
So, I had no say in it, but yes, it was interesting being there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this res is absolutely awesome because you have so much common space. I don't want to sound like that oldies, like, in my generation, something, but we didn't have, like, a common space. We didn't have kitchen. So it's actually good to see how much Minerva has progressed with this res hall.
True.
Minus the population of mosquitoes that live here.
It seems like Minervans have had a good time ever since the uni was created, which sounds really nice. And it happens that Seoul is also is it the city in which you were born?
It's not. I was born in Incheon, where if I say it, most people are gonna say, "Oh, the airport."
And yeah.
Like, we do have a lot of other things at the airport, but for foreigners, that's the thing we're known for. But most practical purposes, yes, I'm like a Seoulite, which is how people in Seoul call themselves, because basically anything I do, it would happen in Seoul, so I would just come to Seoul for that and go back. So I know Seoul the best.
Yeah, okay, let's wind back a bit to your pre-Minerva times and your childhood. So born in Incheon, and you were also, that's where you were living with your family. That's where you went to school.
That's until where I had middle school. A high school, I went to a boarding school in the far east, northeastern province of Korea. It's actually the first elite boarding school to exist in modern day Korea. So this is before the Korean education specialty system, like divided into like foreign language schools, science high schools, and all those like specialty schools. Our school like has it all. So we are pretty well known in like Korean education system. Also because our school uniform is hanbok and whatnot. We also only speak English in our school grounds, apart from like in classes, so we have a lot of eccentricities.
Oh wow, yeah, that's, I guess for Koreans that sounds pretty posh, you know, speaking English, only English on school grounds.
Not just posh, but it's like more revolutionary. When I went there, my high school was less than 20 years old.
Yeah.
And then we did like discussion-based, the small classroom educations. My classes were like 5 to 10 people per class. Mm. So we also have a very high quality of education. And that's also why I went to Minerva, is that I had experience with a newly developed school system.
Yeah. How was your boarding school experience in general? Like, did you like it?
I loved it, and I wouldn't change it for anything. Same thing for when people ask me, how do you feel about Minerva? I wouldn't change it 100 times over if the decision was available to me again. Because I really love studying. I really, really, really love learning and reading books and whatnot. And that high school was like the first time where I was actually surrounded by people who, like me, loved education and loved learning. So until then, I was like very much an outcast in my middle school and like elementary school system. My high school has university level teachers, and we actually finished normal Korean high school curriculum the first two semesters, and the rest of our high school years are dedicated to college level classes. So
wow.
I absolutely love that.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So you finished with this amazing high school diploma, I would guess, and then went on to do what? What was your dream profession when you started high school, and what was your dream profession when you, like, had your high school diploma? Did it change?
Or? Yeah, it reinforced. So okay. Me getting into the high school was also not like the most conventional route. So I actually had a gap year between my middle school and high school years, because during middle school I actually finished the entire high school curriculum. Because I just like studying on my own.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't need to go to high school per se, so I could just take a test and go straight into university. So for like half a year, that's what I studied. So in Korea and China, you have like a college test. In Korea it's called Suneng, in China it's called Wakao, I believe. And it's like this one test that happens only once a year that is like the sole determinant factor for which university you go to. So you just study for that all your high school life, basically. And I just did that during middle school, and I had like a good enough understanding of it that by 5 months after graduating my middle school, I was already getting like most top marks that people can ever reach. And that was when I realized I don't even want to go to university in Korea. The exams are always the same. There's no new materials. There's no joy of learning in the current education system that I could foresee in myself. So that's when I decided that I wanted to transition to university abroad in the US or in the UK. And that's when I said, like, oh, I probably do need a high school diploma. And during the half year between me finishing my Suneng studies and me starting my high school, I just worked for like a space elevator company in the US, and
space elevator company.
Yeah, that's like a whole other story. It's the thing, not built yet, but yes. Yeah, so I've always wanted to be a space city architect when I was young. That's also like a weirdly specific dream, but that's what I wanted to do. And by the time I graduated high school, that dream was still the same. And
I wonder how did that dream develop? Like, yeah.
So I always loved space. I knew I wanted to like do something for space, and I also loved architecture. Architecture is this interdisciplinary field where you need to like engineer, you need arts, you need maths, you need to have a little bit of everything, and that's what I was good at. I loved engineering kind of things. I loved project management. I also was an artist. I'm still, but I'm not practicing anymore.
An artist, like as in painting?
Started out with just drawing and painting, but I went on to progress into like digital art as well. So that's okay. I love space. I love architecturing. Combined them together, I want to be a space city architect. And then during high school, I actually made like 5 different space city concepts, won a bunch of awards. That's actually what I got famous for in Korea and like in abroad. I won like the grand prize for a NASA space settlement contest. That got a lot of news coverage in Korea for me, because I was the first Korean team to go into the competition, and also first time to like win a grand prize, of course.
Wow, congrats. Oh man, there's so much to unpack. But I still want to dig a little bit deeper. So what was the first time you like got into contact with space? Like, do you recall that moment, like in your childhood, when you first learned about this thing called like the space? Or like, is this just like something you can't even like trace back because it's always been there?
It's almost always been there from like the first Ghibli movie I've watched. Ghibli movies are awesome, by the way.
What are Ghibli movies? Sorry.
So Ghibli Studios is this Japanese animation studio, very well known for Howl's Moving Castle and Spirited Away, although my favorite is Laputa and Nausicaa. Studio Ghibli animated films are always hand-drawn and hand-painted, so they're very meticulous in detail. They have very flowing animations, and a lot of their animations are timeless. And a specific movie called Laputa is about this floating city in the sky that's, you know, from Gulliver's Travels. And that's when I felt like, okay, like a floating city, a floating civilization out in space could really have a unifying effect for people here on Earth. That's kind of like the inception of me wanting to become a space city architect, because having a space city out there, kind of like a turning point in human history, that humanity needs to stop doing any infighting and actually collaborate together to develop that final frontier. So
Wow, so that's like those movies, films, they kind of like where you draw your inspiration from.
That's one side. The other side is like my love for science. Like even in middle school, I loved science so much. I would keep asking my science teacher, I would ask her what is like the base particle? Well, like what's the basis of matter? And she would say, oh, it's atoms. But like I knew that like atoms could be broken down into like protons and neutrons, and like, but what's more, and like all these electrons. And then I went into like quarks and leptons, and it's still like, but what do they make? And then she introduced me to, she told me, because I was very good at English at that time too, so she just told me to like dictate this whole documentary about string theory. And I dictated the whole like 3-hour documentary, and I loved it. And then I went on to read the whole book by that, the whole book in which the documentary was based out of, and the whole series of books by that author about cosmology, about M theory, string theory, and astrophysics. And this was me in middle school. So yeah. I absolutely loved learning and science so much. And if you want to delve into the basis of nature of this world, you need to go to space. So.
Yeah. So my granddad is an astronomer, and he always, you know, like, he always says we're all made of stars, and I think it's his favorite thing to say. So yeah, okay, this was kind of a lot. You were an artist, then that interest in architecture, at the same time, you know, science, space, like there's so much about you. But yeah, we were like kind of at a point where already after middle school you didn't want to go to uni in Korea, then you went on to this amazing high school that you liked just like because of your love of learning.
Yeah,
but I guess also because of the people.
Uh-huh.
Is there like one person in particular you want to give a shout out to that made your boarding school experience special?
Honestly, I don't have any specific person. Like even, it's just like the same thing in Minerva. If I met any specific person in Minerva standalone, I wouldn't have had such an intimate experience with them. But it was like the whole system that allowed us. This is like why community curation is like so important. 1 + 1 can make 3 with the right curation. And that high school environment allowed very interesting but unique people who normally would not socialize that well to come together and have a lot of like good effects on each other. So that was my high school.
This is a shout out to hashtag Emergent Properties.
Oh yes, absolutely. I love those HC. I love that particular HC very much.
Yeah, no, and like in this context it makes so much sense. So yeah, finished your high school education, wanted to become a space architect. What was your next step towards your dream of becoming a space architect?
Go to a top school for engineering, in aerospace engineering, or like mechanical engineering. I got accepted to like, I think like 10-ish schools, I don't know. But my top choices were Cambridge and Berkeley for mechanical engineering, I believe. Yeah. So they were all really nice choices to have, and I was really looking forward to go to either one when Minerva kind of like chucks the proverbial spanner into my plans.
Yeah, dive a bit into that. So Minerva, how did you first hear about it? Like,
here's one shout out that I must give to someone I really, really, really love. This is for Sofia, mi amor, mi amiga. She is also in the same cohort. I met her in Copenhagen. Sophia's from Buenos Aires, by the way. We were in an international science summer camp together. We met in junior year in high school, and we both like went away our separate ways after that camp. And 1 year later, she just contacted me out of the blue and say, hey, Antonio, we've not talked for a long time, but guess what school I'm going to? And she said, Minerva. I'm like, what the hell is that? And she said, this is like a school you gotta apply to. From what I know of you, this is like school is the perfect fit for you. And that's when I already had all my acceptance letters from all the different universities. And I did not want to write another college application, nor did I have the need to. Like, I was just trying to choose between Cambridge and Berkeley. I didn't want to like have a third option in there. And Sophia's like, it's a free application. You will love the application process. So even if you would just forget about it after you've applied, you still gotta apply. So I just did it and did what she told me to. I forgot about the fact that I applied after I made the application. And then Minerva came back to me like a few weeks later. It was Ken Ross, who was Asia Pacific recruitment something. Ken reached out. I was at a hospital at the time and just like had a phone call, international phone call, and said like he introduced himself for Minerva, and that the founder of Minerva is in Seoul, and if I wanted to have lunch with him. My first question was, what's Minerva again? Because I forgot that I applied. Yeah. And he said, like, oh, you applied here. And I said, oh, yeah, that one. And the founder of what? Because, again, I just applied because Sophia asked me to, and I did no research whatsoever. And I thought he made a mistake by saying the founder was in town. Like, the founders of all universities I know are dead. You know, because they're old. So I'm like, what the hell is this? And I asked him if I got accepted, and it wasn't no. I asked him if this was a college interview, which was weird. Like, no founder would do a college interview for a particular candidate. He said it was no. It was just a lunch. And I'm like, it just befuddled me. Like, I'm like, I'm bamboozled. Meme right here. And I said, I mean, sure, fine, I would. So the day after, I went to Seoul. I met with Ben Nelson. And I had lunch with him, and I just told him exactly what I just said, like my educational history, like how I always wanted a very unconventional education. I also had a lot of trouble with my education because Korean education system, like any other Korean system, is very conforming. They do not like outliers. They do not like people who ask questions. They do not like anyone who likes to do anything apart from the community. So, and looking back, it was all joyful and whatnot, but at that time, it was a lot of pain. There were a lot of tears in me just trying to do something different to everyone else. Yeah. So I was talking to Ben Nelson about it and how I was like fighting against all that current of education that just wanted to take a conventional high school, conventional university, conventional job. And he said, like, you're the ideal type of candidate we want for Minerva. And like, do you need a visa to come to the United States? And I said, I don't. Why? And he said, because I'm getting you a flight ticket to San Francisco for tomorrow. You're going to come to the Minerva elevation, orientation? I forgot.
Elevations, I think what I call it, yeah.
Okay, so, and I'm like, really? And he's just like, yeah. And like, does that mean I'm accepted? I'm like, yeah, you gotta contact this person to say you're accepted. I'm like, okay, cool. So I wrote my own acceptance email. and then like the next day I was on a flight to San Francisco, where I had the elevation and like great 1 week with this community. And it just blew me away. Like that's when I decided I need to go to this university, even though I didn't know anything about it. Like, the whole elevation part was me being surprised about something new at Minerva. People will ask me, why did you choose Minerva? Is it because of our online classes? And I'm like, we have online, what? And then they say, is it because of our global rotation? Global what? I knew nothing about Minerva. I had no time to look anything about Minerva. And I just fell in love with Minerva because of the community. This was back when we had a lot of faith that Minerva will not survive the 4 years it would take us to graduate. These were people who were betting on a lot of things to just follow this experiment through. Like, a lot of us really did not think that we would make it until graduation, but we still wanted to go through with it just for the sheer adventure that it would give us and the amount of learning that we would have. So that should give you an idea of the caliber of the students that we had and the amount of background, interesting backgrounds that they came with. And that was like, this is a community that I also need to go into. I also did not think Minerva would survive to 4 years. I just wanted to like be along for the journey. And I'm very glad where Minerva is right now.
So from one day to like next, overnight, basically, you pack your suitcase, yeah. You travel to San Francisco.
Yeah. That's where I like fell into love. And I came back to Korea, and then I told my parents that I want to go to this brand new school with very little backing, very little media coverage. And these are like traditional Asian parents who have not really left the country, who have spent a tremendous amount of money into my education. And, you know, elite boarding schools do not come cheap.
That's
they were like already bragging to their other parents, saying like, my son got into Cambridge, and so I'm gonna go and like stake my entire adult life on what was basically a joke of a university at that time. They did not like it. They did not like it at all. So I had to like go back and do this huge fight with my parents, and I got like a provisional approval to attend one semester at Minerva, and then like to transition straight out into like another more established, esteemed university out there.
And then you did your provisional semester?
And I did my provisional semester, and then I did a year, and then I did 2 years, and then I ended up graduating.
Wow. What a journey just to get into Minerva, you know, like having a lunch with Ben Nelson and the next day flying to San Francisco.
Yeah.
coming back, convincing your parents. 4 years at Minerva. What did you major in? What did you minor in?
Oh, so I'm a business and computational sciences major, which is also known at Minerva as the greediest, most lucrative job wanter major, double major.
Yeah, yeah, but like that's not who you are, right?
No, I did business because I love project management. I did computational sciences because I absolutely love math, and I cannot imagine a single day without me doing something math. So computational sciences was a way for me to do math.
Did you use some math today?
Yeah, I mean, my morning alarm is actual like double digit multiplication, so I can't wake up without doing math anyways. I'm actually flying out this Saturday on my way to Azerbaijan for a space conference where I have 14 papers that I'm writing. So I just came back from writing one of those papers, which is about using artificial intelligence to conducting medical differential diagnosis for human spaceflight, which basically means how do I use human AI combinations to predict what's wrong with you for astronauts.
Sounds like a lot of math.
Sounds like some math, but I don't actually need okay. to do any calculation. I'm just doing like some half quantitative, half qualitative.
Just writing out ideas.
Expectations about yeah. what AI center would be in space for medicine.
Wow.
Nothing hard. Your everyday, your everyday problems.
Yeah, sounds like my everyday problems. Okay, love that. Yeah, let's maybe talk a bit about your Minerva experience, because I feel like it does shape everyone in like a very special way. Your favorite rotation city, can you point to one?
Ooh, I loved every single one of my rotation cities because everything single one was special. But I must say I did love Taipei a bit more than other rotation cities. So another thing about me is that I love sports. I love, love, love doing sports. Mm. And Taipei had everything. I could do track runs. I could do long distance runs. I did trail runnings with the Hash House Harrier. Hashing is like another subculture thing. I love swimming. I love cycling. I did daily like 100 kilometer cycling to like some cities neighboring Taipei. I did 4 to 5 day cycling journey. I cycled the entire east coast of Taiwan. I'm also an avid scuba diver, and Taiwan is also very well known for scuba diving experiences. Yeah, any sports you could think of, Taipei could offer it for a very low cost, very accessible, and also their food is absolutely amazing. For the boba lovers out there, yes, oh, Taipei. Nice. Shaved ice, boba tea, the spices are exquisite. I'm making my hand gesture here, but yes, I love Taipei.
Oh wow, I'm really looking forward to Taipei now. You know what, we actually like as a cohort, we have the choice of like staying in Taipei for a full year or going to Hyderabad for a semester. Uh-huh. So if you were facing that choice, what would you do?
I also loved Hyderabad. That would also be in my top choice.
Okay.
Hyderabad, I had so many good experiences, good memories of Hyderabad, the people. I've also made so many good friends during my Hyderabad semesters and around India, so I highly recommend that. So when people ask me about Minerva, if I think Minerva is the best university in the world, I would say very much no, Minerva is not the best university in the world.
This is interesting.
But Minerva is the best fit for some people in the world. For most people out there, I do not think Minerva is a good choice. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a lawyer, if you want to be like a conventional engineer, if you just need a very specialty course, Minerva does not have that. We don't have labs. We don't have a physical campus, and quite a bit of modern majors do require you to have physical campuses and libraries and whatnot. But if you do want to be a critical thinker, what Minerva say, like a leader in this world, then I think Minerva could be the best fit for you. And that's what I understood in my M20 experience, because we had so many people who were taking gap years, who were dropping out, who were not finishing their degree because they found out very early on, because Minerva at the time was a lot harder because we have very little support structure available. So if you weren't a good fit for Minerva, it was very easy to identify that early on. But for some people who really want to change the world, who really want to leave a footprint in this world, Minerva could be that choice for you.
Footprint in this world or on the moon, right?
Yes!
That's what I'm kind of thinking about. You were talking about sports and how you mm-hmm. like all those kinds of extreme sports. is are extreme sports like a thread that kind of like, you know, connects like different Minerva cities for you, like that you do sports in every rotation city?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even consider it as extreme sports, but I mean, I've scuba dived in every single Minerva city I've went to. So like when I was in Hyderabad, I went to the Andaman Islands. When I was in London, I went to the Canary Islands. I was in Berlin, I went to Malta. And when I was in Buenos Aires, I actually went to Patagonia for some glacial, what we call altitude diving. Like you go into a mountain. Patagonia has glacial lakes in high altitude, Whoa. Like 1,000 meter altitude. So I would dive there. In Taipei, I went scuba diving in Green Island, which is this amazing, beautiful island off the southeast coast of Taiwan.
So how did you get into scuba diving?
That's like a long, long tale, but I just tried it out on a family vacation and then I just fell in love with it immediately. So when I graduated from high school, it was a graduation gift for myself. So me and my high school roommate, we went to the Philippines to get our scuba diving licenses, and I've been diving ever since. In Korea, I try to go scuba diving almost every weekend.
You probably have your community here and everything, so it really makes it quite easy. Okay, another like big picture question about your Minerva journey. What is like maybe the most valuable part of your Minerva journey, if you had to pinpoint to like one aspect?
The freedom of doing professional work while at university. So that's, again, I come from this elite boarding school and all my friends go to like Stanford, MIT, yeah. Harvard, etc. And I see them, I meet them and they're like, how can you live with such a boring life? Like life from MIT, Stanford, Harvard, whatever, it's incredibly boring because all your university life, you're barely doing just doing university things. Like you're just doing Stanford coding tournaments, university sports, something. There's absolutely no opportunity for you to broach that university bubble. Minerva does not have a bubble to breach out of. So that just threw me out into the world. I got so many internships. I got so many cool jobs. I was doing like 2-3 jobs every single Minerva semester locally. And that's how I got into like so many good local communities. And that's how I made so many good friends. And I would not have done that if it wasn't for the freedom that Minerva curriculum allowed me to. Although right now Minerva curriculum is a lot more restrictive, depending like on where you can be and like what you can do. But back then, I mean, back then it wasn't like I have so good memories on me taking class at the basement of the U.S. Capitol Hill because I was like doing some lobbying gig for a space like law and policy community, and I was like lobbying during the daytime and like at some and like during lunchtime I went to the Capitol Hill restaurant and cafeteria and then took class there with Professor Grace Woods Puckett, which is my favorite professor in the world.
Okay, yeah. That's great that you like had that flexibility back then.
It just became so much less flexible. Like we could travel anywhere, wherever, but now you need to fill out a form to escape your rotation city, right?
Yeah.
Half of my time in the semester, I was not in my, should I even say that? Minerva, don't sue me, but like nearly half of the time was not in the rotation city because I was out there doing something else. I was out at a conference. I was on some expedition. I was on a cycling trip somewhere. So yeah.
Okay. That I think that sounds super, super valuable. What's one aspect of your Minerva journey shaped you the most as the person who you are today?
I mean, of course, it's global rotation. You really can't edge out global rotation. That's like one really exciting Minerva experience you can have that no other university can parallel. Not because a lot of other universities, when they say like, oh, will we let you go abroad, their exchange program, you don't actually get to immerse or actually continue your studies. Like exchange programs are very isolated incidents. You come back to your own main university and then the experience that you had during your exchange semester is not continued. Minerva overcomes that because you get to continue whatever you have with every single rotation city you go to, and you go into like 7 different countries. Not anymore. That's like the one thing that I'm like, why would you take out the one thing that Minerva is so good? But I'm pretty sure Minerva has its own reasons that I am not privy to. But yes, that was something that I would never change about my Minerva experience.
just seeing that many places. And I mean, from the way you talk about, you talked about Taipei, you really immerse yourself in the local culture. So yeah, definitely achieved that Minerva goal. Okay, is there anything else you would want to add about your like Minerva journey?
There was a lot of things in my Minerva experience that has been discontinued in later Minerva experiences. One of the things are advisor professors. We actually had two advisor professors. We had one, like a lifetime advisor professor that you get as soon as you start your first semester at Minerva. And then you have your capstone advisor, which is more topic-based. And having those two advisors was such a great backbone for me to continue my Minerva experience and actually find continuity, especially because Minerva is so hard. It is really, really hard to keep your sanity at Minerva. And I believe every single Minerva student, if you have properly done your Minerva studies, would get depression because we just throw a lot of things at you, and there's so much FOMO. There's so much imposter syndromes from seeing your student. Like, you do not see your classmates individually, because there's some ideal Minerva student out there, which is an amalgamation of all the top things that Minerva has students have accomplished in existence, and that's who you compare yourself with. So I think a lot of people will get into depression or currently in depression, whatever. And having that advisor professor that knew me from my first semester really got me to continue my Minerva journey without falling too much into bad areas. And again, this is why I said Professor Grace Woods Puckett is the best professor out there, because she was my advisor professor and I love her so much.
No, she should definitely listen to this podcast. she should hear that. No, that's actually like a big point of like Minerva in general. I feel like, you know, just there are so many opportunities. You're coming like to this new city and they're like, you know, you can like start a completely new life. So it's very overwhelming.
It is ridiculously overwhelming. But thanks to me having survived it, it really prepared me for my life right now, like post-Minerva, where I'm still doing a million things at once.
The life post-Minerva, that was such a good transition. Okay.
I was not paid for this transition, FYI.
So what happened after you graduated from Minerva?
Well, while I was trying to graduate from Minerva, COVID happened, so a lot of things went south. Again, I love Taipei, and Taipei was my graduating city. So I have so many good memories of Taipei, but also there's like a lot of disappointment, because halfway through the semester, we had half of our students just going home because borders were closing and being able to go back. And a lot of people were actually stranded. They were not able to go back home. So we had a lot of Minervans who were just co-hosting Minervans in their own countries, in their own cities. And I also wanted to stay a lot longer in Taipei, but Taiwan did kick us out, ish, because they just did not want that many foreigners in Taiwan. And Taiwan, I must laud Taiwan, because they had a very successful COVID shutdown campaign. But yeah, that's what happened. So I got kicked out of Taiwan, and I couldn't go to the U.S. because U.S. also had very, very stringent laws about people coming into its borders during COVID, especially anyone from Asia. So that was me. So I couldn't really go back to U.S. So just back in Seoul, just doing a bunch of gigs. I was primarily just doing a lot of speaking engagements. I was doing a lot of interviews. I got asked to write a book about my educational experience. I lectured at a lot of universities, and I actually did a summer school for one of the universities here, et cetera, et cetera. And then I realized I can't continue to just be a lecturer and live my life. And then I ended up going to the military, because, you know, it's like a lot of things are happening. My life is not going to get better anytime soon, so why not just spend it in the military, because I need to do that anyway, because South Korea does have mandatory military service programs for male citizens.
Yeah. Now I know you've recently finished your time in the military.
Yeah.
So
it was a very unique experience, also because I didn't actually intend to go to the military so soon. It was happenstance, but yeah, but I did end up joining the Korean Marines. Marines is basically you throw them, you chuck them anywhere in the world, and they should survive, establish a beachhead, and then go rushing into battle with a moment's notice without any preparation. That's kind of like what Minerva is. They just chuck you into a new country, say like, serve out here, and then see how they do.
Gotcha. In the military. So one takeaway from, or like takeaways from your time in the military.
Oh gosh, I don't know if I had a pleasant time at the military. On one side, it was good because ever since graduating from Minerva, I didn't really have that crush of what do I do now in my life now that I'm an adult, because the government kind of didn't really give me a choice. But also I didn't have to like go through the very high pressure job searching opportunity. Yeah. Another thing about the military, the good thing that I did was that I had 3 years of commissioned officer, which means I finished my military service as a lieutenant with a lot of good recommendation letters from a lot of generals. And also I got to do a lot of side projects while I was serving the military, which you cannot do if you're an enlisted member. Like, you just live as an enlisted member, you just live on base, you just do as you're told. As a commissioned officer, I had a lot of freedom. I also have a lot more free time, and I could also travel abroad for a lot of my own vacations. So that was a huge plus. And that allowed me to continue my career-related things. I could still be involved in the space community.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Your career that like will lead you to hopefully dying on the moon.
Yes. So that's like how we started the podcast. Yes, my hope is to die on the moon, to become the first person to die on the moon, because people have already been there. So I've always wanted to do space. And right now I'm working at a Korean startup that makes lunar robotics. So basically it's just, you know, we make robots for the moon. And I will probably transition to a career in the US very, very soon to do other space stuff. I don't know what yet. But my whole professional field during my Minerva time was to work in space law and space policy. That was my background, and that was what I've continued to do ever since. And that's what I will do once I move to the US as well, to continue doing space policy, space law things.
Wow, okay, and how are you gonna die on the moon?
So I hope that someday they will need a diplomat or ambassador to go to the moon, and especially when we have permanent stations on the moon, and I just intend to stay there. I will literally tell my mission people, do not try to spend money to try to bring me back to Earth, because I intend to be there, and hopefully that will work out.
So you definitely want to be involved in building the first colony on
Moon. Absolutely, yes. And actually, we actually don't use the word colony or settlement anymore. We say lunar bases, but yes.
Okay, so wow, such an amazing future perspective. And I feel like it leads us to a great point where we can wrap this episode with our fast fire round of questions.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So you said you love reading books. What is your favorite book?
The Three Body Problem by Cixin Liu. I probably did not pronounce his name right. Three Body Problem is both the name of the book as well as the name of the trilogy. So there's actually two books following that make the complete Three Body Problem trilogy. It's actually written in Mandarin, but the translation is absolutely amazing because the translator was Cixin Liu's brother. And I do believe they're making a Netflix movie out of it right now. But it's about interplanetary travel and it's about alien civilization and what it means for us to not be by ourselves in the stars. And it is both a literary masterpiece as well as being able to encompass all the divergent fields of artificial intelligence, of astrophysics, of quantum mechanics and string theory and whatnot, all the different science fields, as well as like the social science fields, all that, it bashes together all different fields possible, including linguistics, into one book, and then like
one entire series. It's a fast fire round of questions.
Sorry, but yeah, that's my favorite book.
Okay, the Three Body Problem.
Yes.
Mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing.
What's your favorite space movie?
There's so many good ones. The Martian was a good one. But apart from the movie, The Expanse is an amazing series. The Expanse is one all space lovers must watch because the science there is highly, highly accurate. I actually met The Expanse cast in a space conference where they were trying to petition Jeff Bezos to continue the series. And I've also met Jeff Bezos like 4 times, but yeah. That's another story.
Okay.
I've met a lot of interesting people.
Okay, what's the most interesting person you've met so far?
I've met Jeff Bezos. I've met like...
Elon Musk? Have you met Elon Musk?
I have not met Elon Musk yet, interestingly.
Do you want to meet him?
I do want to meet him. And I'm actually going to have like multiple opportunities. Like people... So one of the things I did in my past during Minerva was that I built like water filtration plants. So I went to like the... I've gone hiking, trekking in the Himalayas as well as like... going to the Peruvian Amazon, and then like the company that I worked with also was very much recruited from SpaceX because SpaceX wanted to build water filtration plants in, you know, the moon. So they wanted our services, and we were also very closely aligned with space. So I had multiple opportunities, but our company founders said like, it's not the right time to meet Elon yet. So I didn't get to meet him yet, but yeah, the opportunity was there. He's not a hard person to meet. I will probably see him next week when I go to that conference in Azerbaijan, because he's kind of like planned to come.
Wow. Wow. I feel like doing another podcast episode with you already. Like, this one is just not enough to...
I've had a lot of crazy experiences while in my Minerva. I went to the Arctic, I went to the Himalayas, I went to Peruvian Amazon. I did a lot of crazy things.
Yeah, this is insane. Okay, we're still in our fast fire round of questions. What is your word of the day?
My favorite phrase is like, "Vi veri veritas in viva svizi." I probably have not pronounced that correctly. That means, I am mortal by the power of truth has conquered the universe. This is like my favorite quote from V for Vendetta, which a lot of people know by the movie, but there is a comic book, which is the original, that you must read. This is V for Vendetta. Manga is like one of the best books out there, period. That's like the essence of what I try to be. I know I'm small and my capabilities are limited, but I still want to go out and change the world, whatever I can be. I don't need to leave my name out there, but I do want to die having made the world a little bit a better place than how I found it. So that's kind of it. Apart from that one, sorry, one more thing, which is also really important for a lot of Minervas listening, is the man in the arena. This you should look this quote up. There's a good TED talk about it as well. And it's about the man in the arena. It's about the courage of the person who's actually going through, who's actually suffering everything. And other people might say other things to you. Other people might just look at you only in the thing. But in the end, it's only you, the person in the arena, that's fighting the lion, the gladiator, that actually matters. And that's who you should compare yourself to. Just go and watch the TED Talk. It's amazing. There's like Brené Brown, one of my favorite authors, have like books written about all this. This is also her favorite quote. You really gotta go read this and listen to that, to her TED Talk as well.
Wow, beautiful. Well, yeah, it's such a big episode. If you're ever gonna write like a book about yourself, or like, you know, a biography, definitely let me know.
Hopefully I'll be too busy trying to make the world better to actually spend time for that, but yeah.
Okay, let's wrap this episode. Yeah, I really appreciate that you took the time. Just want to say that.
I must say, I really love Humans of the Minerva podcast. It is like one of my favorite podcasts ever. And another thing about me is that I love building Legos, and I only listen to Humans of Minerva podcast. I never do anything else while I listen to. One thing I get to appreciate about Minerva and about me having stayed in Seoul ever since graduating was that I got to meet all my underclassmen while they were going through Seoul, and I met like a good portion of Minerva, but it still wasn't a comprehensive, and every cohort I meet and interact with, there are so many amazing people there, and there are so many alums out there who have not met underclassmen, who have not heard your stories, and I cannot appreciate the HOM podcast staff enough about all the work you're doing to, you know, just record all these stories. And also there are like a few M20s podcasts out there, and there are things I have not known about them as well. All the things you're doing with the professors and the staff, holy crap, they are amazing. I have not known. I really wish there was Human of Minerva podcast while I was at Minerva so that I could have connected with more professors and more staff that I didn't know about.
What a wonderful way to wrap this podcast, talking about connecting to people. What is the best way for audience to reach you?
I am very, very active on Instagram at Antonio F. Stark, because my full name is Antonio Fowl Stark. So Antonio F. Stark, altogether. I'm very happy to answer any questions. I love connecting with Minervans. I really feel I miss out on a lot of connections. So yes, please.
Go check out his Instagram. It's like the most amazing thing out there. There's like so much to discover.
Or LinkedIn. I am also like very active in LinkedIn as well if you want a bit more professional connection.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, for being on the show, for sharing your story. Antonio, it was such a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Jules.
Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and automatically get notified about new episodes on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at humansofminerva.podcast for all the latest updates and announcements. And finally, special thanks to our editor, Hilary Tang, for working her magic on this episode. Thanks for listening to Humans of Minerva.